When life gets harder, you get smarter. You don't mission, you level up like a boss. Connect Vox Fibre to your home, starting from 554 Rand per month. Level up your experience with Airtime's Wi-Fi boosters, Vobi Voice app calling, Office 365, and over 160 other products to enhance your lifestyle. Live smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
Hey, Rehot. Look at all those fireworks going off in the background.
Yeah, it's quite a... What are we celebrating, Duncan?
It is exactly 10 years to the day today, he says as he holds up his beer there, that we launched Tech Central. It's nice. Our 10th birthday today. So quite exciting. It's been quite a decade. Yeah, 10 years. Well, it's done. Flown by. And
wait, if you guys have a party, why the hell am I on the show? I mean, I'm like the worst person to invite to a party.
We haven't even got birthday cake. We're really bad at planning around here.
Yeah, Duncan. I
haven't even got a beer today. I mean, really bad planning. But that person you can see in the middle, or if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, the person you just heard chiming in there is none other than Mr. Louis Dupasani, who is, what do I call you, the developer, the brains behind Bootfighter?
There's absolutely no brains involved with making Bootfighter, so I think that'll be a bit of a stretch. No, I'm the prime mover of Bootfighter. And then after that, technically I'm the CEO of the company making it. But that doesn't mean anything at all. I mean, essentially, I'm the art nerd and the animation nerd and the production nerd. So I try and keep all the other nerds together and on course. But everyone is obviously the king of what they're supposed to do. We have Gordon Laws, who is the captain of jokes and character acting and writing and whatnot. We have Nikki, the king of after hours tears into the jacuzzi of development. Despair, which we all bathe in every week. I wasn't going to say bathe in every like weekend or Friday or whatever, because every day is Wednesday if you're a game developer. And then there's Super Suso, who's just a guy, honestly, that I said, like, you know, Nick was having a bit of a bad day. I said, look, are there any junior developers out there? And then he's the first guy that replies, like, all right, come. And he's brilliant, so he works for us now. And then Steve, who is Nick's partner, who's now making arcade machines and does a bit of audio and just a bunch of fringe useful stuff. Wow, I gave you a long answer. Long story short, I'm Louis, the matriarch of this particular thing, because the reason why I say matriarchs is because there's a lot of nagging involved. I'm not saying that matriarchs are good at nagging, just saying I am the mom. And I have to kill people with a shoe. I'm already painting myself into a corner, but hey, you know what? I'm incredibly unwell, so anything that I say that is untoward, just blame the cortisone.
Duncan, I'm just going to mute my microphone. I think we got the show running already on its own.
The show is running, yes.
Oh, right. Sorry, is it because I'm just talking?
No, it's good content. I say, bring it.
But Louis, thanks for joining us, especially since you've got a touch of the lurgy there. We hope this podcast doesn't kill you.
What? No, you know what? I was going to say something very inappropriate, but when you told me that this is potentially family-friendly content, I'm just going to have to say it's the bubonic face sif, which is all like grown in the back of my eyes and my nose. and it is now sprouting a colony, which will also then eventually turn into a smaller sub-game development company.
That just sounds like a plot for a good game.
But because it is diseased and terrible, it'll exclusively make free-to-play mobile games, the thing that is now growing inside my face. Anyways.
I think we probably just violated Apple's podcast terms and conditions with that description, but let's carry on. It's not family-friendly anymore.
Well, let's make the most of it then.
So what you do is that when you do the re-upload, you just block out this middle thing where my face is, and then whenever my voice happens, you just have that telecom holding music, and then it'll be fine.
That would definitely violate the Apple terms.
That'll violate everyone that's ever had a telecom before.
Yeah, in fact, we'd lose all of our listeners, and we'd never get them back again.
Hello, listeners.
Is Telkom still playing that atrocious music, or have they changed it?
I can tell you a Telkom story right now. This is now a wonderful, you know, like summary of the hellishness that is Telkom. So I think, like everyone else, I had a Telkom ADSL line at some point, and then, you know, air quote, cable theft. And you just kind of go, all right, well, how difficult is it to get this fixed? And they go, it's impossible. You know, there are wire cable theft stealing bandits roaming the streets. It's basically Mad Max. You know, Kurt Russell's trying to get it under control, but can't. So you eventually go, all right, I'll be, because I'm always a late adopter. I'm not current on anything. So I eventually got Fiverr, and it took me like 6 months to cancel that. But then magically, my ADSL came back on for about 30 minutes. And it went away again, and our phone's like, a miracle has happened. The cable theft people have clearly had a redeeming moment. They put the cables back and then changed their minds and took it away. And so like, oh, okay, well, then clearly it was never cable theft in the first place, you bunch of so-and-sos.
Yes, so-and-sos. That's a good way of describing them.
So-and-sos.
So-and-sos, yeah. We must dig out that Telkom music. No, actually, we mustn't.
Yeah, we can put it on the shortcut key there for...
Put it on the stream deck.
Yeah.
For loser of the week, we'll just hit that and play the Telkom music.
Wow. You know.
Not such a good idea, is it?
Please, no, let's not
go. All right, shall we get into the show, Rechat? Shall we do our...
start officially.
Our intro officially, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more about Boot Fighter.
Cause I really no, let's not.
Pipe down. Right, let's get started. I'm Duncan McLeod.
And I'm Rechard van der Berg.
And this is Talk Central, episode 270 for the week starting 1 September. Yes, it's Spring Day 2019.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central. Join our YouTube live stream on Sundays from about 1 p.m. and please hit that subscribe button.
And on Talk Central this week...
hit the subscribe button.
Thank you.
Yes, go immediately.
Right now. On Talk Central this week, Telkom CEO Sipho Maseko launches an extraordinary attack on National Treasury.
Also on the show this week, no Google apps for the Huawei Mate 30 Pro, and all new Toyota and Lexus models sold in South Africa are now coming with integrated Wi-Fi hotspot.
Wait. So an attack has happened. Did they come from the sky? Did they come, like, you know, with...
Came from Telkom Towers.
But they come from Telkom Towers. They're Telkom snipers, right? And was it a bit of...
I think we just came up with the idea for your next game.
Yeah, SimCom. It'll be amazing. It'll be.
And you get corporate sponsorship for it. Sounds fantastic.
Attack on Telkom Towers.
But before we digress too much, we'll also be talking about Celsius putting the plug in wholesale fixed LTE, and of course the man behind Boot Fighter is with us.
Sunday afternoon.
Well, there are many peoples behind Boot Fighter.
No, that way.
What are you looking for? It's Sunday afternoon. We're eventually going to finish this intro.
We are live
streaming on YouTube, and it's time to talk about everything, never mind technology. Right. I think Louis's dead.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, no, he's not dead yet. Please stay alive until the end of the show if we want to hear
about it. I was just going to see if my neckbeard would sprout whilst talking about all of this clever nerd stuff that I don't have any clue about.
Right, Boot Fighter. It's set in Pretoria. The characters look a bit like they're out of the East Rand, though. Why four ways?
Why four ways? Because four ways is Boots plus budget, man. Like, I think if you could... Because if you go to, you know, any corner of the fish-shaped triangle, I saw a great sign yesterday that, you know, said Boxburg, Benoni, Brakpan, all in, you know, in a triangle. Because, like, it doesn't matter where you go. You know, you're going to get... you're going to go to a bar and then promptly have a fight. The thing about four ways is that it's the aspirational end of Boot culture, we feel. So that's where all of the, you know, the primo Boots, you know, the Boot Plus, the premium Boots, that's where they all go.
The well-to-do Boots.
The well-to-do Boots. And it is somehow between, let's say, Midrand and four ways. This has basically made it impossible to escape four ways or Joburg in general, which then leads to the old adage of four ways in.
Mm-hmm.
No one's out. I mean, that's not my joke. That's somebody else's joke.
But first time I've heard it.
Around. That's just a joke. But first we should maybe say, I mean, a little bit more about the game. I mean, Duncan, we haven't really introduced it in what this is. This is a platformer where Boots fight. And if you haven't seen it at any of the expos, I mean, you certainly have missed out, right?
Well, there's still expos coming up. So, you know, you can just...
No, for sure. For sure. And so when is it set to launch?
That's a very good looking question. Thank you for asking it.
What's the answer? Is there one?
We are aiming for the 21st of September. But here's the problem with saying anything ever is that because this is the first time we're doing this, and because we are incredibly small in regards to our development side, everything seems fine. But we have not seen the hurricane that is now coming from behind the mountain that we haven't been able to warn the villagers about yet. So if there aren't no hurricanes, no tsunamis, no ESCOM, critical load shedding,
no copper theft, no attack from
telecom towers,
no telecom SWAT teams sending in to make sure that people on fiber all get executed on the spot, then everything should be fine for the 20-odd-ish of September. We're obviously launching with Steam first, but we are really hoping to get iOS and Android out within a week or two after that. But obviously, when we started making this thing, we didn't think, we thought it was a bit of a joke. Oh, sorry, my name tag came off just in case people were interested. you don't have to beep that maybe or censor that. We were just doing it as a goof, it wasn't meant to be like, all right, we're gonna make this game so we can make money. But now that the thing has kind of spiraled out of control, now we kind of have to make money. So yeah, it's coming to all platforms eventually, but the Steam one is first, hopefully at the end of September. What a long
so
way
are you
to
timing
answer
this?
A very simple question.
Are September. You timing this for the for Rage? Then I think Rage is happening around there.
It's September
it?
Today.
But at least until then, if anybody's listening, just go to Steam and hit that add to your wishlist button, and you'll
Please
be notified.
Do that. Please do that.
And then buy and gift it to all your friends, because this is going to be something we're talking about.
It's not going
to
be expensive either. I mean, like, we don't have illusions of grandeur going like, this is a AAA title or anything. We try to make the best game we can with an indie-sized studio. So we try to make a good indie title, and then we're going to set it at a good indie price. So please buy. Please support the brand.
Get rid of those stupid fireworks. I forgot them on the screen. There we go. There's some artwork.
So in terms of, so for those of you that don't know what Bootfighter is kind of loosely based on and kind of where you guys' the idea came from to where we are now, can you give us a brief 1 minute rundown?
Oh dear, 1 minute. Okay.
1 minute, we're timing you right now.
So I was working on another game called Django, and at that point we were making a lot of gaming stereotypes and how they would apply to the real world. And the one stereotype that we thought was very funny was Double Dragon. It could only be, let's say, based in Essex, New Jersey, or Four Ways. And because we know Four Ways, we decided to do Double Dragon and Four Ways. A game where you start, you
Double Dragon and Four Ways, nice.
Girl's short skirt gets punched in the stomach by doing a machine gun, carried off, door opens, Lambo roars, two guys fight each other until the end, girl's hanging on the wall, you fight everyone, do the death, and then you fight each other until you get to be with her. That does not work in today's society, except if you're based in Four Ways. Boom, how do I do?
Fantastic. That was the best answer to that question.
So essentially, the whole kind of like two dudes fighting over a maiden, a damsel in distress, is such an outdated motif. So the joke is that the motif only works if you live in a very kind of jockey, alpha, let's say unwokey kind of ecosystem. So yeah, that's basically where the point of the joke came from. If you want any more kind of, let's say, locally cultural lore, then I can happily assist that, but only if you ask for it, because I don't want to overstay my welcome with these lengthy, long answers.
No, I wanted to know who did that brilliant voiceover in the trailer, and we'll play the trailer in a moment. But the accents were captured absolutely perfectly. Who did that?
So most of the voices are done by Gordon Laws, who also created the Hard Eddie character before this game was birthed. I phoned Gordon and said, hey, do you want to make a game about dudes fighting in Four Ways? And I had this whole pitch. He goes, I'm in. And then he basically a week later said, yeah, but of course Hard Eddie is the main guy. And I'm like, can't deny that. And then we had a joke about who could be, his pals, and there were a few, but the one that we thought was the funniest was Mod C or Mutbise Kwele. God, I hope I said that right. But the Mod C is a bit of a joke on a Model C accent because, like there's no cultural differences with Boots. You're Boots. you are the group of boots. And that is done by a local comedian called Mo Matebe, who is super funny as well. So Gord will do these great lengthy improvs that are really funny, and then Mo would just say this one little quip, and it wouldn't even make sense most of the time. It will just kill us every single time. And how this is done is that we just improv. Mm-hmm. And then I take it back, or one of the audio guys, Garth or Steve, will take it back. But in most cases, it's me when it comes to the marketing content. I'll take all of it and then try and turn it into a trailerable length, trying to stick it all together, which is sometimes tough when it's improv. But yeah, I think I think the trailer has been received quite well. So
The trailer's fantastic. The trailer's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Are you going to have cutscenes like that throughout the game?
Oh, brilliant. If we didn't do the cutscenes, this game would have been out like 2 months ago. Because you know what? You got to be honest with yourself. You know, like this game, where do you find the fun? And a lot of the fun is in, you know, is in the voiceover. Mm. And in a beat-em-up game, you don't have a lot of opportunity for in-game voiceover because it isn't like role-playing. It's not an exposition machine. It's just a case of you fight and it's funny. So we have to do a lot of content in between to get the joy of the game in, which is, you know, funny-looking dudes with very skinny legs talking ridiculous nonsense and that adorable Norwegian accent.
Norwegian accent, brilliant.
And I loved some of the local landmarks. I mean, if you live in Joburg, you'll recognize them instantly, which I think
they're
just adds to the appeal as well.
They're all fictional.
Oh, fictional, yes.
What was it, the Rolly Dodger or the Dodgy
the
Roller?
Dodgy Joller.
Dodgy Joller.
No, there's a Roller Joller, whatever you want to call it.
I've been a few places very similar. I love going to those places. And in fact, you know.
Do you go out to roll? Are you one of those people?
I'm not a boot, but I like to watch, eh?
Do you go in the corner going like, hey, Breed, I got checked out your business, Breed.
50 round on the blonde, 50 round on the docket. Are they going to fight today?
Wow, good thing it's spring day.
Anyway, all your secrets, right? Cool. Well, if you've got any questions for Louis, please join us in the chat room. I see a few people have joined us in the chat room already. Please do fire away. So I'm going to attempt to play this trailer. We were having some trouble getting the audio to work before we started, and I suspect the three of us are not actually going to hear the audio, but I think it's going to go out live. So
if you, the listener, hear the audio, please give us some kind of indication.
In the chat room, just let us know. If the audio is not going out, I'm going to have to pause this, but... here we go, chaps. I think we all have to keep quiet because this is hopefully going to go out. Let's do it.
Release that at any time, but we are confident that it will be soon.
That's playing the end of the video. But, hang on a second.
Rewind.
This is not a game.
No, actually, it is a game.
Except now.
Wirecast.
It's actually a game.
Rewind.
Good job, guys. Good job.
This is all indie podcasting, all right? I'm sure you know. Things go wrong. Laws and things don't happen.
Anyway, it's about to restart, so I think... that's the last few moments of the, which is probably broadcasting audio, so I'm probably talking right over it at the moment. All right, here we go.
Sounds of birds chirping peacefully, square bracket,
algebra. Four ways, hardest and tittest part of the whole of Johannesburg.
Everyone knows.
Hard E, hardest and tittest oak in all of four ways.
Hard oak, okay. Hard oak.
One night, out on the jaw with a new and very fine Bennett.
Shazato.
I had to go and investigate whether an altercation had anything to do with me by dripping all the oaks involved.
True detective.
Satisfied that it did not in fact have anything to do with me, I returned peacefully to the VIP section.
All the V's, my brother. All the V's.
Where I found my Bennett missing.
Did you find her missing or was she missing? Did you find her?
But who could have stolen her? Very good question, but... All we know about him is that he was apparently handsome and also very ripped.
I promise it wasn't me, brother.
Which makes him an alpha male and a threat to my dominance.
I oath it wasn't me. I was at home with you, brother.
Calling upon my best China, Mod C.
That's me, brother.
I will dedicate the rest of my life for the whole weekend.
Long weekend.
To retrieving my stolen Bennett and restoring justice and order to four ways. There's more to Bootfighter than you could ever have imagined, but way more, way, way more.
So much more.
Maybe even three or four ways more.
See what you did there, brother.
For example, there's a love story of a oak with himself.
One man story.
There's another love story of actual love.
Heterosexual love.
There's another love story of two bros who cement their friendship by cementing oaks in the face.
It's a love triangle of violence, brother.
Nightclubs, rugby stadiums, bars, gymnasiums, very busy traffic roads, and a ginormous inland rave with an ocean theme.
Gentrification.
What else, pretty? Yeah. Explosions. Foot Fighter. Official release date. TBC subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. We reserve the right to change the release date at any time, but we are confident that it will be soon.
Very soon.
Foot Fighter. Because mooring oaks is not a game.
No, actually, it is a game.
Except now, it actually is.
It's actually a game.
And I won't replay that last bit, but the audio was going out apparently, and very good indeed.
It's a bit weird. Fantastic trailer.
Bit weird of us sitting here in silence while everyone else can hear it, but we'll figure that out.
The lip syncing was that good, though, that you could follow it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indie development, guys. Indie development.
So more cutscenes like that coming in the game. I cannot wait to play this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like some of them are about 25 seconds long. Some of them are like 1.5 painstaking minutes long, you know, which is fun to animate because, but I think it's kind of like that whole style was almost birthed out of this weird, requirement that we need a lot of talking that is economically easy to execute. Well, at least that's what I think. If you like that cutscene, we're going to have a lot more. I'm going to do one more before the game is up because, unfortunately, whenever you do a piece of marketing content, it's all like everyone's like, oh, yeah, people dig it, or, oh, it didn't do as well as it should have. And then the inevitable conclusion to either one of those scenarios is like, we need more.
Yeah.
We need to do more of those. It's like, all right, well, Ever Suffering Animator, we'll do some more. It's fine, guys.
Now, I've got what do you think, I mean, quite importantly, what do you think is the esports potential for a game like this?
Zero.
You could do it in real life.
Spectator sport. No, I'm teasing. But, I mean, this is one of the few games that I actually enjoyed at the shows I've been to just watch other people play.
Yeah,
but also
yeah,
the reactions to it is pretty insane.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, it is something we wanted to do for this game, but we have this lovely term called scope creep, which is like, okay, just know what the parameters of what you're doing. And then with the parameters, you can actually create a plan to execute. But there was one thing we wanted to do that was much more multiplayer focused. And we're not sure whether that's going to be in the bookverse or not in the bookverse or just inside the actual Bootfighter game. But yeah, the plan is there to do something that's a little bit more multiplayerable, which is not couch co-op, if you know what I mean.
And for mobile, I think that's a very important thing these days. We know multiplayer game on mobile games is certainly taking off, and everybody's got access to the data in some way. So having that ability can certainly work well for a game like this.
Did you hear the single drop of Evner tears falling into the dream jacuzzi when you said that? Hey, we should really do some multiplayer on mobile.
Do it. No, I mean it? I feel the pain. I feel the pain. I mean I can understand it's not easy, right?
I don't know. I just come up with stories and, you know, art it up and throw it at people and go, hey, you know, this moving picture, make it work. Make it respond well to when people push buttons and get angry and push more buttons than once than they should. We had this problem with the arcade last year that we didn't know because we were obviously testing it on controllers and then we stuck it on one of those arcade control pad things. And we didn't know that if you pushed all six buttons at once, that it restarts the game. And we thought, oh, what's the odds of that happening? And then every single person who wanted to trigger a special move was like, just smashing the arcade into bits. You know, Bootfighter. It's like, oh, Windows, how did that happen? You know?
The ultimate button masher.
Yeah, I know, that's a special move. Push all the buttons at once, and then you just kill the game. So, yeah. Anyways, I don't know how we got into that. I blame the head cold. Anyways, next question.
That should be an interesting Easter egg. You know, you should pop something up that does it when people press all those buttons, except for restarting the game, obviously.
Easter eggs.
Easter eggs. No more, no more.
Enough. What was the creep?
What was the Microsoft Office app that used to have a flight simulator built into it? Was it Excel?
Excel, yeah. Man, that was crazy.
You press a combination of keys in Microsoft Excel in the 90s, and it popped up Flight Simulator in between your sheets, which was a bit bizarre. But Lee, what are your expectations for this game? Do you think it's going to attract an international audience?
This is a very tough thing to answer. Because, you know, a lot of people, not a lot of people, a very small amount of people go, but is it viable for the international market? And you know what? Kung Fu isn't viable for the international market either. It's such a mystical, you know, Eastern Chinese specific thing. And that, how like specific it is what captures the international imagination, I guess.
Yeah.
So if we were pandering for the international market, all we would have done is kind of watered down the appeal for what the actual game is meant to be. So what are our expectations? Well, we hope that some people buy it just to justify 14 months of absolute joy.
Sweet tears.
And throwing all of our existing careers into the dream volcano, as we said off air beforehand. Yeah, we just hope that we can keep on doing this, man. Like, you know, like nobody thinks that they're going to have the job they wanted when they were 13 and become a millionaire off of it. We just, you know, you kind of choose career or happiness, and sometimes happiness could keep you afloat. And that's kind of what we want. Mm-hmm. And we do have a lot of interest from expats. As it turns out, there are a lot of South Africans abroad. And not to sound...
Butts abroad, eh?
Butts abroad. or
the sequel.
Butts abroad nationwide, you know. But also, like, a lot of people said, are you guys limiting yourself to, like, you know, 30-year-old white males? And as it turns out, no, we're not. But not because we planned it that way. It's just people have just latched onto it, and it's cool. Mm. We're happy that they did. We didn't tell anyone to. It's just like, oh, you thought it was funny. It's great.
But I think as with so many good, funny genres out there, the things, I mean, talk about music and movies now, you know, you don't have to be a part of that that movement to kind of enjoy it. There's a lot of things that we sit back and, again, we're spectators in, but a game like this just makes you, again, appreciate all of these nuances that we have as people around us. And this is South Africa 101, right? Having kind of these boots personified like this.
Yeah, but also it's South African without pandering to be South African. It's not like, you know, somebody sat in the boardrooms are happy to make something so uniquely South African that, you know, we can get it, you know, to scale to amazing heights, you know, to show like how culturally blah blah. You know, it's just like, no, it's suburbia. It's fun. It's fun. Like it's something we can all immediately relate to because everyone's got a butt living on their block. Yeah, and it's easy peasy. It's not a case of we're not trying to make some brand sweeping statement. We don't want to be the ambassador of anything local. It's like, yeah, have fun. Like, again, if you laugh, other people might laugh as well. That's how we see it. I know it's not this like very deep kind of mantra. Not like it's a commentary on, you know, going like, well, we were raised in the 80s watching action movies and we were forced, well, you know, we were raised to think that going to Stellenbosch and getting an accounting degree and marrying the hottest girl on the block and then getting a holiday house by 30 in the Eastern Cape somewhere, you know, that's what a Foot Fighter is about. Or is it? I don't know. Maybe it is deep. Anyways, enough nonsense.
Bradley in the chat room says, all the V's, my brother. All the V's.
See, I don't know why that's like I don't know why it is funny. I just know it is funny. Like when Mo just said, all the V's, my brother, or like, I don't know what the joke is. I just know that I laughed. I don't understand the humor in this game half the time. It's just a case of like, yeah, it's just a way of speaking, I guess. It's not what's being said, it's just how it's being said.
So anyway, this game is, I mean, largely based around Joburg, right? Have you guys thought about the other cities? Because
yes,
I can see boots in other towns. I mean, I'm from the Eastern Cape, and boots are big there too, but they're different, if you know what I'm saying.
Which part of the Eastern Cape are you from?
No, let's not go into my history. I think that's better left unsaid on this show. Thank you. I'm from East London.
West London, okay.
Slummies,
there we go.
Oh, yeah, come on.
With fighting on the Osna beachfront could work.
Yeah, look, I think the next thing we are thinking about doing, without giving too much away, I mean, it's a bit of a Belleville to Boksburg kind of experience. So I think the next boot thing that we are planning on doing is, if we do well, of course, I mean, because this all hinges on just a moderate amount of cost covering, is just to kind of it's almost like a coastal tour in a way that you start off, I don't know, a west coast and then move your way up to Joburg side. So yeah, if you're to just imagine what a coastal tour around South Africa is like, which might cover the Eastern Cape as well, if you think about it. I'm not trying to like I don't know if you know of this jaw called Kenton on Sea. They do they call a thing called the Oxbry. And it's almost like I was sent there by accident 20 years ago so that I could one day make it a level in a game that I might make when I'm having a midlife crisis. The Neptune's Beach Festival, that's what it was called. They have like Cannon Rocks in the Eastern Cape. And then, I don't know, Uitenbosch is also like such a childhood thing. And if you look at it through like, you know, like fresh eyes, you kind of go, oh, okay, yeah, this is funny. Like you can make a bit of fun of it. And obviously Joburg makes fun of itself. And yeah, it's, yeah. Like, you know. You could get to Pretoria. I mean, the Durban guys were quite offended. Well, not offended, but they felt kind of left out. It's like, you know, like, oh, we got our own, but like, yeah, but we're going to stick to the Joburg thing for now. It's like watching a Justice League movie and you go like, why guys, just focus on one story, make that story right. And then you have all the time in the world to do all the other, you know, good source material. Don't waste it all now. So yes, we're not planning on wasting source material, but we're also not planning on using all of it at once.
Plenty of material and ideas for sequels, eh, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Well, Bootfighter, when did you say it's out? Around the 21st?
Around about the 21st of September, yeah.
Okay. Well, as Rachad said earlier, go onto Steam. It's there. And click that Add to Wishlist button. I think that's it. You can't buy it yet, can you? It's not available for pre-order.
No, but as it clicks on, it'll let you know it's available.
Okay. So head over to Steam and check it out. And if you haven't seen the trailer, actually you've seen the trailer because you're watching this. But if you're listening to the audio version of the podcast after the fact, then hit YouTube and search Bootfighter trailer. It's well worth your time.
I suppose it's also worthwhile noting that we're doing our first playthrough of a chunk of the game at Pirate Fest on the 7th of September. So
okay.
The intention is to have the game done. Obviously we allow ourselves to do fixes or, you know, whatever we want in between this time and let's say the end of September. But the intention is to have a chunk of the final version, playable on the 7th of September at Pirate Fest, which I think will be a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, it's a nice crossover event. There's live music for the people who want to rock and, you know, I don't know, people into pirates, which I'm guessing is everyone, and then there'll be some games there as well.
Good stuff. Sounds brilliant. So head out there if you want an early view of the game. But I'll definitely be ordering it on the 21st and spending it. So I hope that's a Friday, so I can spend my weekend playing it.
Calendar activate.
Okay, but Duncan, we're going to need to do this. We're going to need to go to Four Ways and go sit in one of those pubs and
with a laptop.
Play with fire. Yeah, we're going to have to do it.
Where do the boots hang out in Four Ways?
Well, we'll just follow the levels in the game. I mean, I think we can find some associations. They look close enough to some of the places I've been.
We'll just drive
here's
around.
Here's a fun game that you can play. So you can make your assumptions as to what kind of venues you're parodying and then play the level there.
Yes.
Have a few beers. When you're done with the level, pay the tab, catch a cab to where you think the next level is. And then because it'll only reveal, obviously, what the next level is when you finish the next level. So you can make like a Joburg crawl out of it if you want.
Oh, cool, man. For people that don't know Joburg, that's a perfect map, yeah? Tour de Jersey.
Tour de Four Ways.
One of the levels is more like a street location, so there's no specific... No, there is actually. There is a specific venue attached which is based in fiction, might I add, for legal reasons, on level two. So, yeah, I think you can do a cool little Joburg crawl if you want to play the game around Joburg in its actual, not real locations, of course.
Mm-hmm. Duncan, you're in. If you're in, tweet us. At.
The only problem is we have to go to Four Ways.
I think I've got about a gig of voice notes before Bootfighter even started, which is all dedicated to how much I hate Four Ways. Like, absolutely. We used to have meetings in Four Ways on Sunday mornings, and I'm like, why? Why, guys? Why here? It's like, it never ends.
So did you have to spend additional time in Four Ways for research purposes?
You know, like, I know enough about Four Ways, and Gord has lived in Four Ways and Sunning Hill and Bryanston for I think most of his life, so he knows a lot about Four Ways. I think I think it's nice when you come to a project with a little bit of ignorance and then a lot of knowledge. Mm. So that there's this little spot in between a lot of knowledge and a lot of ignorance, which is where the kind of imagination gets to work. So yeah, I think we got a nice balance of all of it. But yeah, I know Paul. quite well as well.
Quite intimate.
I wouldn't spend Friday night in Four Ways though. That's not something that
anymore that, or now.
No, it's just you know, you walk into any of these venues in the Pine Slopes area, and you walk in there, and you just go, "Oh wow, this looks like a lot of work." Like everyone's trying very, very, very hard. It's not casual. That's the thing about Four Ways. There's nothing casual about it. It's basically, it's a bit Vegas-y, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's very commercial.
It's very extra. And I don't know, I'm just the kind of person that likes to sit down and be left alone and eat, you know, with a table and nobody rubbing against my shoulder. Mm. Does that sound right?
Well, you do know what they call Four Ways, or I think the term may have originally applied to Douglasdale, but I think it's now broadly applied to Four Ways as well. Cougar yeah. National Park, yeah.
Oh, Cougar National Park. Yeah, there used to be that venue there on Bidcorpen, which also has a funny name, which I won't say on your family-friendly podcast. What was it? It was called Corner House, I think.
Ooh, Corner House, but you're getting a decade
That's
ago.
A long time ago, yeah.
No, it's not. Well, maybe a decade ago. Yeah. But yeah, like that is Cougar Town of note. Like, you know, that's where you go to find love in all the wrong places, you know. All those quadruple divorces, you know. I don't know. I don't want to say anymore.
There's a spin-off for a game in all of this, too, if we should make notes.
I just think that someone's husband burnt that place down. I think that's what happened, you know. Just Molotov'd it, you know, to the ground. Like, at least four of my ex-wives are in there right now. You know, making somebody else's life miserable. Fuck, to end the cycle, I guess.
Yeah, look, in the time that I was living in that area, there was at least three or four gun incidents that I've heard of. So it was not, that was certainly not a
you're from East London, mate. There's an 80% chance that you were responsible for each one of those gun incidents.
No, I wasn't that close to the area. Cell phone towers will confirm that.
I see that both of the cats from Pirate Fest has liked my comments since I've given them a little punch. So thank you, Mo and Jason Mayo, you know, and your festival is going to be super rad next week. So cool. Hey, let's talk about the Tool album. Let's not talk about the Tool album.
Tool, oh my God, you're going to get Martin excited. Is Martin online? No, Martin, you're not here. You're missing out. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the new Tool album. We can talk about it for a few minutes because
it's progressive metal for bullies. I love it. Like, I'm a bully now, so it's fine. It's like, yeah, cool. Zed. It never really has to go anywhere. It's fine. I'm completely cool with this album.
I love it. That final track, the name of it slips my mind. Tempest. That guitar and drumming in the second half of that song is just incredible. We're talking about an album called Fear Inoculum, which
just
is from
dropped.
Just dropped from an American prog metal band, and it's their first album in 13 years, and it doesn't disappoint.
Apparently, unless you really don't have an attention span, it will really disappoint.
Yeah, but then you're listening to Justin Bieber.
You know what? Don't
knock the Bieber.
Don't throw shade. We're all just out there trying to pimp our wares and do the best we can. I mean,
well, you just see that Justin Bieber came out as a Tool fan a few weeks ago.
I did, and then Maynard snubbed it, and then Danny yes. Carey said, "Oh, that's fine. Cool. Like what you like, and I'm cool with like what you like." I think we're all just trying to make a dent, you know. Mm. Imagine if your podcast had like 2 million listeners right now, people would be calling you names as well because like, I don't like it because it's popular.
True. Yeah, true. What's your favorite track on the new album?
Dude, you know what? I actually kind of like. Just got to remind myself. I do like the Invincible track.
It is kind of,
I hate the word meta, but it is kind of meta where it's all like about being long in tooth. And yes, you know, there's this trepidation about going out there and, you know, again, pimping your wares to like a much younger and more cynical audience. Mm. And I feel like, I get that. Like it's difficult to go out there and, you know, almost be scorned for trying just because you're out there putting your hand up. So I relate to that track. So for now, yeah, I mean, everyone goes like, "Numa," but I like the one where he goes like, "Hey, it's cool to be a bully." I'm like, yeah, it's cool to be a bully.
Yeah. Apparently the whole album is about aging, getting old. So I guess it appeals to us middle-aged.
Oh, a Tool album is never that superficial.
No.
That's I wonder if they did it the other way around. Okay, then now again, I can't really talk about this in depth due to the, let's say, the demographic of your show. But it's like they normally have a gross overkill metaphor, and then underneath that there's a layer of subtlety, which is like, okay, this is a comment on theology or whatever else.
Yeah.
Whereas this album is like you know, the comment on the surface is actually quite relatable. So now I wonder if the thing, you know, the deeper meaning is actually a lot more sinister. So
Might be. Yeah, who knows? That's the thing about a Tool album is you have to listen to it for about 3 years before you actually hear the whole thing.
Yes, that's very much true. That might be a comment on the length of the songs as well. All right. Questions.
Questions. Do we have questions in the chat room? I haven't looked at that in a few moments. Kissbut, 21 equals Saturday. Okay, there we go. I can spend my whole weekend playing it.
Some of your weekend playing it.
Better listen to Tool as well. I can listen to Tool and play, I suppose.
That'll literally cause you to divide by zero, listening to Tool and playing Bushfighter. Like two, like, such contrasting mediums. You know... It's going to spiral out to, like, you know, just hearing doof doof in the distance.
The Milky Way will implode on itself.
So will we be seeing any cool merch? Because the characters that I'm looking at, the artwork, I mean, there is so much potential there. I'm sure you guys have thought about that.
We're doing a merch run now. We're doing a super secret party that we're not going to tell anyone about this coming week. I suppose you guys can ask us about it.
What time?
We'll talk after the show.
We have a little super secret party happening this week. It's not a big deal. It's masquerading as a beta party, but it's not really. It's just a case of get together. There's a bar, and we'll have some merch there, and you get to play the game. And it's just for kiss, if you know what I mean. Because we also need to kind of feel connected. Because when you're sitting in a little room making this game for such a long time, you don't know anymore, man. It's like, I wonder if this will bear fruit. So it's just nice to do something before all of the expos and whatnot. So it's a sort of a reprieve jewel for people that we find interesting. It's actually not, and we try not to just invite our mates. We actually try to find people in some of the groups online that have been cool to us, like the Zaga people. We just said, like, hey, can one or two people come through? Maybe friends of Comic-Con, like maybe you guys come through just to come and have a hang and give us a vibe, you know. It's interesting though, like the balance between press and audience in this exercise, because it feels like the press sometimes wants an ambassador, and we're not that. We're just making the game for laughs. Mm-hmm. If the joke gets a bit old, then sorry, it's a joke, man. It's the unique selling point of the game. Guys, I'm the train, you're not in the train. Anyway, so yeah, merchandise we will have a lot of very soon. But if there's any thought as to what you guys want, I mean, like the general public out there, like hoodies now, it's like it's going to get warm now, so it's very expensive. And we don't, like, again, startup companies, we don't have a lot of money to throw around. So if merch and stickers is what we have for now, and we're going to do some caps and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sound good.
Yeah. But merch, yeah. We'll have merch.
Underwear.
Yes, wear them.
Rathod. Underwear, seriously.
Yeah. We could pick up a brand of underwear. I mean, that could be amazing. For the books. Wearing
Victoria's Secret Sockies.
Secret sockies.
Secret socks. That'll be all the way up to your knee in any case with a comb in it. Oh, let's not get into stereotypes, even though that's kind of our business at the moment. Yeah, there'll be merch. And there might be parody merch as well. So, yes, we might have some Sunday undies in there as well, if
the demand is big enough. Put your requests in.
I promise you, though, when we have these brainstorming meetings, we often do talk about merch or fake ads or fake brands. I don't know if you – on our page, we have a few fake brands as well, which we want to do a lot more of. If it's funny enough, we'll just make it. But for the most part, it's just us cry laughing on the floor about, like, really stupid ideas, you know. Like, we want to make a restaurant called Jimmy the Killer Prawn.
Pop-up restaurant, that should be amazing.
Yeah, well, we actually want to do pop-up events. It's actually something that we're sorting out now. So if there are like gathering places where people like to A, hang out, and B, maybe play an arcade game, we might pop up there with a little pop-up bar and an arcade machine and just
fantastic
improv draw. So let us know, audience of Tech Central.
Cool. We should probably move on to some of the other subjects we had on the list here. Let's do that. Louis, you've kindly agreed to stay on and provide your considered views on some of these subjects. I'm gonna skip straight
Instant
past.
Regret.
I'm gonna skip straight past the telecom treasury story because hey, it's a Sunday afternoon. We're having fun, and that's really boring. So let's talk about Huawei and Google and the fact that Google has said that Huawei's new Mate 30 Pro, and Rehat, you are a user of the Mate 20 Pro. I was until mine was liberated gunpoint a couple of months ago. But the Mate 30 Pro, which is being announced later this month, Google has said will not have access to Google Apps. Does that make it dead in the water?
Well, if it doesn't have access to it, it's certainly going to put the damper in it. We've been speaking about this, you know, what do they do if they lose access to the operating system and the apps? Mm. I don't know. Where else are you going to get the apps? You're going to get it from their own marketplaces. That's going to have to be, redeveloped for their purposes and their platform? I mean, how would we get apps otherwise?
Here's a thought. Now, very soon, China is going to be bigger than the rest of us. I don't mean to sound alarmist, because I'm not.
It already is.
If you basically tell China that, look, you don't have Google anymore, mate, they're going to go, because China just does, right? It's like, all right, well, then we'll make a Google. And then that Google's going to become huge. And then our app stores will then be leveraging that platform. And we'll make it English, you know, for all of you internationally cosmopolitan cats out there. And then it's going to become, it won't topple the empire, but it'll definitely become a competitor. So I think a lot of, what was the stupid phrase? Necessity breeds invention or whatever it is.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah, no, that. So I think that if you tell, you know, one of the biggest economies in the world that, no, you can't come to this party, they're going to come up with their own party.
So that's already proved that they can do that. I think the main concern for most consumers would just be, how do I get Facebook and my Instagram?
Huawei is the second biggest mobile phone in the country. It's Samsung, then Huawei. I mean, those aren't American brands. Mm. So, you know, it's like it might not happen overnight, but, you know, it's just gonna default. You know, yes. iOS is slipping down, which, you know, I'm not applauding that fact at all. I'm just saying, like, look, if you're going to not let Huawei play with your toys or China play with your toys, they're going to come up with their own toys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's good that we get another competitor in the mobile operating system market, because Android is too dominant. I mean, it's got something like 90% market share now.
Hey, that's what we said about the EFF, mate. Sorry. Whoop, no politics on Sunday.
we always talk politics on the show. You're welcome to. But yeah, I'm trying to get this cartoon from Germ on the screen, because he drew us a brilliant cartoon on Huawei this week. Let me just add it here. You two can carry on talking, because I can't multitask.
But I think for me also, the other thing with, I mean, so they are, is it not going to be back on Android at all, or is it just going to be the apps? Duncan, do you know?
It's going to be running Android, but it's not clear whether it's a Google-sanctioned version of Android. They may just pull it out of the...
So this might be that first hybrid step towards their own operating system with their own marketplace. And if they have an emulator built into their software that can run Android-based apps, then kind of problem solved. It's just a question of whether those apps will get blocked for not running trusted sources of those apps or trusted versions.
I don't think Harmony OS is going to be ready for the Mate 30. If it was, I suspect they might even be trying to put it on that particular device. But there's Germ's cartoon. I thought it was very good. Our new logo, Trump in the foreground. Louis looks like he doesn't get it.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Yes. Very good. What's an incredible what a pithy thing to say. In any case, I think that's the point. If you don't play with your toys, then you can.
No, we certainly know that they can do that. I mean, their phone, the hardware is fantastic. I would certainly hate to lose Android, but if they can come up with a solution, which is their business model, they will.
Yeah, it's unknown at this stage whether, you know, even if the phone ships without the Google apps, whether you'd be able to download those Google apps as a user. Because I think, Rechot, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the relationship between Google and the phone user is with the phone user, not with Huawei. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a way of doing that. But the problem is, if Google doesn't allow access to the Play Store, how are you going to download these apps?
But, and also, are they going to be trusted, verified, and then you're going to invite a whole lot of array of, or a lot of potential for malware download sites, you know, get the app here and download. Mm. But they would have their own marketplace store with compatible apps. I mean, that's how they would do it. They would want to keep that user on their own market space.
Yeah.
And sign up with our store and get access to the same apps. I mean, if they're all emulated or if they're all running on the same platform, it should work.
Mm. Maybe. It's all up in the air at the moment, but we'll have more details in 3 weeks because that's when the May 30th is supposed to be launching. But I predict that if there's no Google apps on there, it's not going to sell well outside of China.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Toyota. They had a press conference this week with Vodacom and Ultron, and they're launching an in-car device that was developed by Netstar, which is an Ultron subsidiary. That's got an eSIM built into it, GPS. It's basically a vehicle tracker with some advanced functionality as far as I can figure out. So it's got an eSIM which connects to two APNs or network access points on the Vodacom network, one for telemetry and the other for providing a hotspot in your car. So when you buy a new Toyota as of today, the 1st of September, you'll get this device fitted inside your vehicle. It comes with 15 gigabytes of data, which you can then connect up to 15 users to. So all the passengers in the car, if it's a taxi, you can share that data. And then it also has this telemetry APN, which will inform you when it's time for a booking, can even apparently make a booking for you for your service. It can tell you if there's a problem with your battery. It soon will be able to automatically renew your license disc on your car. And apparently there's lots of other functionality coming. My first thought about this was, you know, this is potentially a huge invasion of privacy, especially if Toyota is going to be tracking everywhere I go. But apparently it's opt-in only on that score. You can tell Toyota.
I'm very curious. I wonder where this guy is driving to, because this guy looks intensely troubled. You can tell by his body movements. He's very, very, very erratic. He's clearly got, you know, something heavy playing on his mind.
He's probably got a body in the back.
Body's in the back, yeah.
I think, you know, like clearly, you know, the wife is working a little bit late tonight. You know, you know, she's not answering her phone. And he's thinking, you know what, I'm just going to go there and just check what's up. Maybe I'll take, maybe I'll just take something for self-defense as well, if you know what I mean. You know, look at all those lens blooms in the distance. That just shows he's maybe had a drink or two. You know, he shouldn't be behind it. I mean, the car's backwards.
Maybe he's just anxious because his in-car Wi-Fi stopped working.
Maybe.
Yeah, but you've got to love these stock images.
But this is a troubled man. You can see, like, this guy is – his evening is going to end up on the news, man.
Looks like a scene out of Dexter or something.
It does.
There is plastic in the boot. You know that for a fact.
Mm. Mm.
Oh, sorry. Where were we?
We were talking about boxes in cars that provide Wi-Fi and
internet. That's exciting.
Mm. Is it exciting? How exciting is it really? I mean, we've all got phones anyway, and we shouldn't be using them in the car anyway. Unless we're a passenger.
Surround sound, guys.
Look, I mean, if you're going to be paying for that regardless, right? So, you know, that's not going to be free data, right? At some point, it's going to be extra cost on the vehicle price up front.
Maybe you have to do it like this, you know. You just get the surround sound happening. So now you can get, like, you know, 360-degree audio from your box. This will make it difficult to drive if you're that guy. But still, you know, like, the audio will be incredible. Implant directly into your brain, into your cortex in the back.
Well, that actually makes me think, is there potential for Bitfighter VR? I mean, being immersed, or do you just have to go to Four Ways and then have Bitfighter real life?
Yeah, but I think that if you're going to have an immersive experience with Bitfighter, it'll be a little bit more of a horror genre. So you'll put on the Oculus or whatever, and then you'll just, you know, the game will tell you to start on the floor, and you're just going to look up, and you're just going to look up, and it'll just be like, what's above you? And then you just have to crawl out the venue and you have to escape. So you'll be the guy that accidentally glanced to look at the wrong person's girlfriend, and now it's a survival horror based
on your life.
Yeah.
So how did we get from Toyota to that?
It was VR. It was me.
I was really trying to disrupt. I was trying to disrupt this conversation as best I could because, you know, I warned you.
No, please go ahead. It makes for a fun conversation. What else we need to talk about, Richard? We've got the man behind Boot Fighter. We've spoken about him.
No, talk about the news. Talk about the news. It's fine.
Wholesale Fix LTE.
Oh, it's LC, yes. I do have a picture for that here somewhere. There we go. Hit that button. Yeah, so LC, a lot of people have been using... I think he's dead for real this time. I know, he's just sleeping. So LC is... what are those guys doing on the tower?
I told you, snipers, man.
Oh, that's is that the telecom tower?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The guys who listen to the podcast audio version are going to wonder what we're going on about.
From someone on a Foot Fighter page going, when's this being released? Why aren't you watching a Tech Central part, like you know, podcast, people? Come on.
Don't flick him off. Don't flick him off. Rechot.
I can't.
So, CLC has cancelled its agreement with Internet Solutions, which was a wholesale arrangement to sell LTE, high bandwidth LTE. And I think a lot of people were using this. Internet Solutions would then on-sell it through people like AfriHost and Vox and others at pretty good prices. But CLC had determined this week that, no, this doesn't make financial sense for us. Well, they didn't determine it this week. I think they determined it a few months ago and gave written notice to Internet Solutions. But it kind of leaves a lot of customers in the lurch who don't have access to fiber. And CLC said, well, tough luck. We're pulling the plug on this. You're going to lose all your data at the end of September on certain plans and the end of December on other plans. And if you want an alternative, get fiber or use ADSL. Not very helpful, is it?
Yeah, that's not very nice to tell customers that.
I know, it's just like this whole like, okay, well, you know, it's like we failed you and this is your problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I was telling you the story earlier about like how my ADSL's cables got like stolen, you know, because, Africa. It's like, no, it's just you guys just not maintaining your stuff or not bothering to figure out the problem, which is probably just somebody putting their sandwich on a button that says my internet and only my internet will be turned off. It's like a big button with my name on it that says internet off for Louis.
In the exchange.
You know, with a sandwich on top of it. And now that man is up this enormously, you know, deathly skyscraper with a view of Mordor trying to figure out why I don't have internet.
View of Mordor, view of telecom towers.
No, I haven't. I was busy making a game, guys. I don't have time for sightseeing at telecom towers. Also, it just sounds terrible.
Well, you need to do some research for your next game.
Dude.
Someone's angry. Is that a hardy dog? Is that my side or your side?
I think that's my side.
Actually, there were some hardy dogs in the trailer, weren't there, right at the beginning?
Right in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, flying over the highway. You can't leave the hardy dogs out of a game about Jodo.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about those hardy dogs, man. It looks like they were looking for a fight. More in tech news.
Right, I think we've actually pretty much covered the news. Let's do our regular features. Rechot, I don't have a pick this week. Louis, I don't know if you have a tech pick, something you've been playing with that grabbed your attention. It could be an app or it could be a gadget or anything really that really grabbed you in the last little while. But while you think about that, no pressure. Rechot, what's your pick this week?
So my pick is loosely right now, it's very loose related to tech, but I don't know if you ever watched the movie The Chef with no. John Favreau. He's the guy that actually was the reason for the big reboot for Iron Man. He's kind of one of the guys that made that success story happen. Now, he directed and starred in the show called The Chef, which was just absolutely fantastic if you're a foodie and you just enjoy watching good food being made. And it was a good movie too. So they've now released on their website all the recipes from the show. And if you watch the movie, you'll know the delicious meals that they had on there. So if you're into that type of thing, making some food, and go check out thechefshow.com/recipes for that grilled cheese sandwich that they have in that show, which is a winner.
Sounds good. I'm on my way over to you for lunch afterwards.
Come on, I've got the beer.
I discovered this amazing thing, you know, in the last week, and it's just completely blown my mind. It's this thing. I don't know if you can see it. It's brand new, right? Right, there we go. And it's a CD, which I've heard of before, but
it's rewritable.
the RW says rewritable, so you can put things on it, right? And in some cars, only the most futuristic cars, they'll have a CD player in there which will actually play the things that you put on here. But if you change your mind, you can just rewrite it and put new things on it.
That's freaking
amazing, guys. I really think that CD...
Best pick ever.
I think that CD rewritables... guys, I really think this is going to change... I think the way this, like, it's going to change where the tech industry works. I think it's going to change the music industry, guys.
Can I put MP3s on there? Because if I could put all the MP3s on there, that would be amazing.
Yeah, adopt now, guys, because, you know, it's really going to take off. I mean, use your Bitcoins and invest in verbatim, guys. It's going to be amazing.
I'm just worried about why you still have those there.
And also SteelSeries. For some reason, these Mies light up. Like
it can tell my
mood. Like now, I'm feeling a little bit shy.
We're comparing Mies.
Comparing Mies. You know, not an error, guys. Come on. You know, but mine's definitely bigger.
Yeah. Well, that was very well done in under pressure. So thanks, Louis. I'm going to have to go and buy some of those CDRWs now. They clearly do sound like the future. I might even have to put some music on them so I can play them in my car.
Guys, music is this new thing, guys. You've really got to try it out. It's definitely going to take off.
Well, it's just been invented, hasn't it? Tool's just released an album.
That's true.
Right.
I can make up a bunch of other nonsense as well, but I'm not going to because I feel like this shtick has kind of run its course. So.
Right. What else do we need to do? Winner and loser of the week. Our winners this week are James Herbst and Andy Openshaw, who respectively are the CEO and Chief Operating Officer for Huge Group, who've just been awarded 40 million rand each in share options by their board of directors. The shares vest in a couple of years' time. But that's good moolah indeed. 40 million rands in share options each. And our loser this week is the MultiChoice Group, the owners of DSTV and Mnet. After they had their annual general meetings of shareholders this week, and in two votes, the shareholders thoroughly rejected its remuneration policy for its directors. MultiChoice has now asked for feedback from shareholders on how they'd like to see the remuneration policy changed, but shareholders saying, we don't like the way you're paying your bosses.
Check this. Hey.
We're just cool.
Cover up the rest. Anyway, I'm technically an employee at MultiChoice, technically. You know what? I'm not going to lie. The remuneration wasn't that bad. Better than game design. I'll tell you that much for free.
Yeah, they new
actually,
offices
no, they need to stop charging for that information because, you know, game design's a tough country, lads. let's all pipe in and buy Bitfighter. Plug. By the way, speaking of plugging, I'm going to give props to Yuan Slobbert, who's definitely like carrying the bulk of the comment section today.
Yes. Vinyl is making a comeback. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's a good thing Martin's not in the list on the chat room today. He would have loved the Tool conversation, but he's a huge vinyl nut. You say vinyl, so you say vinyl's coming back.
Yeah, well, vinyl was completely dead for the most part, and then hipsters started happening. And it's kind of weird. Like the same audience that likes vinyl, it's the same audience that likes venues that have bad parking. Mm-hmm. They think that the venue is cooler because it's difficult to park your car, and that's why these places in what are they called, the Great Dane or Kitchener's or whatever, that's why they're so popular, because they feel so exclusive. So with vinyl, it kind of feels like you're buying into some really exclusive market, even though it's nice to skip a song if you want to, but you know, it doesn't matter. It sounds better, apparently. It doesn't sound better.
No. Definitely doesn't sound better, but...
It sounds warmer because it's got more noise on it, but what do I know, right? What do I know?
It's just warmer because that turntable produces a bit more heat than your average MP3 playing device.
I would love for that to actually be the answer. I'd love it was something as benign or moot as that.
The rotational cycle of the LP.
You were ahead. Let's just say that you've won that. Okay, more tech news. This is exciting. Let's talk about nerd things. This is fun.
We've exhausted the tech news for this week. Is there something that you wanted to particularly talk about? anything that grabbed your attention? Although we are at we've actually over an hour already, so we should probably be signing off soon.
Why? Is there a cloaked, shrouded figure behind your green screen saying, "You have expired your time. Now you must switch off. Get back into the pleasure dungeon."
Oh, Rehat, what have you? Whoa.
Just magic, man.
Magic. Is that a green sheet you have there?
Green screen. Mobile green screen.
The fourth wall's been broken, guys. Clearly this has now run its course.
We're back on the fireworks, so we should probably look to start to wrap this up. Let me find the show notes. Yeah.
We didn't do the quiz, so we'll just leave out the quiz answers. How's that?
We'll leave out. No, we must do that. Let's do it in reverse for a change. Which Roynet executive and CEO of subsidiary Nash? Did we ask this in the
meeting? No, that's what I'm saying. We didn't even ask the question, so there's no point in doing the quiz.
Lou's asleep again. Let's do the quiz with the answers. Do you want to start with that?
Okay, so you said from the top, from the bottom. Which Roynet executive and CEO subsidiary Nashua Mobile is stepping down to emigrate? And the answer is Mark Taylor.
It was Billy Joel, guys. Come on. That was absolutely from the 1988 Billy Joel album. Stepping down.
Stepping down.
Sorry, yes.
Got quite a good voice there. I think you might have to sing Tech Central. You'll have to sing Tech Central Happy Birthday at the end of the show.
I have 1.5 blocked nostrils, 1 blocked ear, and none of my eyes are working. So
you've got a bit of a Barry Gibb going on there.
I don't even know who that is, but
BGs.
I applaud you for your referencing capabilities of things that are no longer relevant, including the BGs in their pants.
Actually, Louis doesn't have access to the show notes, so let's see if he can answer the questions.
You know this is a waste of time. So.
Apple will hold a special event on which date to announce the new iPhone?
And before your game launch.
It'll be on Y2KB, when Y2K actually happens. Because the only reason it didn't happen is because iOS didn't instruct it to happen. It's sort of the functionality of Y2K original, vanilla even, wasn't up to par. So they delayed the launch. So that's happening on the 22nd of September. 20th of September.
Close. No cigar. 10 September.
I could have named every single date in the history of mankind. chance I wasn't going to guess it.
Here's a curveball for you. Number three. Whose high-profile Twitter account was hacked this week, sorry.
I don't have Twitter. I don't even know what that is. I don't know.
You'll love the answer.
Dick Bundadach.
You'll love the answer. Yeah, you'll absolutely love it.
This is Mark Zuckerberg.
No. Well, close. Close in relativity, but the answer is Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey.
There are 4 billion people on this planet, I think. I'm not going to go through them one by one until I correctly guess the person.
Look, we've got a lot of time on this podcast. Let's do it.
The CEO of Twitter was hacked. And Cell C this week left ISPs and consumers in the lurch. Actually, this question is going to test how well Louis was listening.
Listening at all.
I think he might have been napping at that point. Cell C this week left ISPs and consumers in the lurch by cancelling its fixed LTE wholesale agreement with which company?
Telcom?
Hang on.
Cell
C? Internet Solutions.
And the final question in this week's quiz is, the all-new Toyota and Lexus models sold in South Africa will come with a Wi-Fi hotspot, and how much prepaid data loaded at purchase? Anybody?
1.44 megs.
We'll need a few more floppy, stiffy disks for that. The answer is 15 gigabytes.
You know what? I still know how to zip and DOS, okay? So that counts for something, I feel.
Zip and DOS.
PK zip minus E minus R minus and F for format, source drive, destination drive, / star dot star. Suck it.
Now, there's a show note worth noting.
Right. Let's see if there's any...
So, yeah, if you're a lonely tech nerd out there, just know I might be your dad.
Apply now.
You're Wolfman of the tech industry, eh?
Jeez, no, please take that back. Don't you guys think that the Vikings guy did a great cosplay of Steve Wolfman at Comic-Con last year? No, Travis Fimmel?
I didn't even see this.
Don't know.
Google that. clearly it wasn't on purpose, but yeah, he did a great impression of Steve Hoffmeyer. He looked like a hungover Afrikaans guy wearing a plaid shirt.
All right, Louis, it's been fantastic having you on the show. Absolutely. If you're this on form when you've got the flu, I can just imagine what you'll be like when you're fully functional, if I put it that way.
Yes, you will see my final form.
But you're welcome to come back on the show anytime. Invitations open.
You're welcome to WhatsApp me at 12:30 going, hey, do you want to be on the show?
Might just do that.
Yeah, then I'll just give you that big thumbs up icon that is the universal sign of passive aggression. Or I'll just be on the show. Who knows?
Okay. You know, as long as you don't give us that German Huawei logo in response.
Well, now I have to.
Which finger?
So, all right, I'm gonna return back to whence I came. Oh no, I'm already home. No, this is fine.
Fine. Travel safe.
Well, thanks. Well,
thanks very much, Louis. Greatly appreciate it. And do go onto Steam and add it to your wish list. Wishlist it, and then buy it.
And then when it launches, gift it to everybody in there.
Please, yeah. That'll be nice. It'll be affordable. You can either buy, it'll probably cost the same as the Steve Hoffmeyer CD, and you don't want to do that. So please, just you know,
money better spent for sure.
Money better spent.
Who's your daddy?
And you're feeding your local game developer, which is probably a better cause, to be honest.
Yeah. So, you know, if you buy my game and the company grows, I can hire all of your teenagers who are now insisting that they become game developers. Because that's a thing now.
Because their father's played Butch Fighter. Hey, it's a good cycle.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go now.
All right. Thanks, everyone. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, what's our WhatsApp number, Richard? I can never remember.
071-999-1111.
There we go. And we go live on Sundays at 1 p.m. on youtube.com/TechCentral. Hit that subscribe button, as Louis told you to do at the beginning of the podcast. Join us next Sunday at 1 p.m. Until then, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.